Romans 13, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Together in verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we're going to preach on tonight what I preached on way back yonder in 1991, a biblical perspective of authority. A biblical perspective of authority. And let's pray. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help us, help me, Lord, to deliver this message. It does remind me, it's funny how I can remember preaching this message. I remember writing it down and preaching it. And Lord, I'm thankful that your word does not change. It's just as true now today in 2024 as it is in 1991. Now, Father, I may have learned some things as far as delivery, as far as even writing a sermon. But, Father, I've also learned this, that your word never changes. It's just as relevant. And what we see in 2024, we saw in 1991, which we saw 2,000 years ago and even 6,000 years ago. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the eternal, infallible, inerrant, preserved, inspired Word of God. And I pray you bless the preaching of it tonight to the hearts of your people. And we ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, when we think about our nation, think about our society, think about our culture, one of the biggest issues in America, which, and this is what I said in 1991, hasn't changed much, one of the biggest issues in America is this idea about dealing with authority. How are we supposed to be submitted to the authority that the Lord has put over us? Now, we see a lot of lack of submission, a lot of rebellion. This is nothing new. Sometimes we think 2024, somehow, you know, everything's different in 2024 than it was ever. Well, maybe it's more in your face. Maybe it's more obvious. But the seeds of rebellion has been planted in our nation a long, long time ago. We see it in the music. It's interesting how the music, you ever pull beside a car and all you do is you can boom, 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 and your windows are vibrating. You wonder, how do they even hear what's there? I mean, it's just noise. But then you hear some of these songs that they sing. It's just immoral and rebellious types of words. So we see it that way. We see it in our culture. Even back then, and this is what I kind of chuckle when I see some of the things I mention. Even in 1991, here's the things I mentioned. The unisex movement. Today we call it the transgender movement. Same thing. Boys trying to be girls and girls trying to be boys. Doing something, and that's really rebellion is what it is. God created you and you're going to rebel against it and be something different. It's just rebellion. You see the unisex movement. You see the whole idea of gay rights. That's still rebellion. You're trying to do things your way instead of the Lord's way. And even back then, I put this down. This is interesting. The ERA. I remember in 1976, I think it was, when the Equal Rights Amendment was being pushed a lot, and eventually, because it didn't pass within a certain period of time, it was pushed aside. But even recently, they have brought that back and saying, "Oh, we're gonna consider it as." This is funny how government is. We're gonna just consider that we passed it. We didn't pass it, we're just going to say we did. And you're like, how can you do that? Well, because that's what people do, have no fear of God, no morality. And so there's still this idea of rebellion. We're going to do what God has set up society a certain way. We're going to throw that aside and do our own thing. And then you look at the current events. And I have listed here, again, I chuckle when I read these things, about people going out and burning the flag. That hasn't changed a bit, has it? Can I stop for a moment and update my message? If you're from another country and you come to our country and you say death to America, I say we just put them in a big catapult and send them back to their own country. Or at least as far as that catapult will send you. That I don't understand. If you're an American citizen and you just want to be just whatever, okay, you're born here and you don't like America, okay, you're a fellow citizen, you're just an idiot. But if you're not a citizen of this country and you're from some other country and you're chanting death to America in our country, that's kind of like an act of war, I think. We should say, let's talk about... Anyways, let's stop there. But you see this rebellion and this rejection of authority. Now, sin itself began over the issue of authority. That is really the root of sin is rebellion. Now we see it manifested through pride, we see it manifested through lust, but the root of sin itself is really rebellion against God's authority. And that is really the issue of sin, whether you're talking about Satan or you're talking about man. Now we think about man, we think about Adam and Eve. They did rebel. God said don't, and they did, and that's rebellion. But even in Satan itself we see this rebellion. So go with me to Isaiah 14, if you will. Isaiah 14. You look with me at verse 12. These should be common verses to us, but verses we should not forget about. Isaiah 14, let's pick it up in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Talking about Satan, the devil. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, Satan speaking, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Not God, the stars of God. The idea is any other angel. I'm going to be above all these things. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now watch what he says next. I will be like the Most High. Satan's rebellion wasn't, I'm going to go tell God what to do. I'm just going to quit listening to God and do my own thing. I will be like the Most High. I'll be my own God, my own ruler, my own authority, rejecting God's authority. And that's exactly what rebellion is. Rebellion isn't, I hate God and I'm going to tell God what to do. Really, it's, I hate God, but I'm not going to listen to God. I'll do my own thing. That's the idea of rebellion. The idea, I will be my own God. Now, the major work, obviously, of Satan, because he is now... His sin was rebellion. His major work is now to filter that rebellion through man and to get man then to rebel against God. So let's go to Genesis 3. So Satan fell because of his rebellion. And then once he fell, now he tries to sow those seeds of rebellion, that rejection of authority in us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, now notice what he says. Yea, hath God said, questioning the Lord. Not coming out and denying, just questioning me. Really, is this true? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And then drop down to verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now he's just right out denying what God said was happening. He said, no, it's not going to happen. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, it's Satan speaking, so whatever he's saying you know is a lie. But the whole idea is that you will be your own God. That's kind of basically what he's saying. He said to God, I'll be like the Most High. I'll be my own God. Well, that didn't work out too well for him. So then he comes to man and to woman and says, okay, you be your own gods. It's the sowing of rebellion. This is really the issue. The base issue of sin, the root issue of sin, this rejection of authority, the rebellion that goes with it. So the major work of Satan is rebellion, and then now he feeds that rebellion through man. So how then do we overcome this? This is Satan's plan to get us to be our own gods, reject God's authority, and live in rebellion to him. So how do we defend against that? What's the way to overcome that? Well, that's not hard to figure out. They asked Brother Howes once, Brother Howes, how can I stop lying? Here's what Brother Howes said. Start telling the truth. It's rather simple. And so how can we overcome rebellion? Well, it's quite simple. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Amen. Live in submission to God. And to God's authority. Because a lot of times we say submit to God and people say, okay, but you understand God has set authority over us. And this is really the direction this message goes. Not simply submitting ourselves to God, but submitting ourselves to that authority He's placed over us in our submission to God. Now, watch this statement. This is the, I don't have it listed this way, but I'm thinking back when I was 26, this is, guess what I was thinking? This would be my proposition sentence, statement in here in my introduction. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what I was saying. I'm like, what was I thinking? Anyways, here is my, I'm going to propose to you. Ready? Your submission to authority. Now, I've got to stop for a moment. Because there's going to be an underlying thing, no matter what I say, we're staying within a certain box when we talk about authority. We're talking about authority that is operating within its biblical role. Okay, so when I say authority, I don't mean anyone who just simply assumes a place of authority and starts demanding that you follow them. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Not everyone in authority really that person probably shouldn't be an authority, but not every position of authority is God-ordained. There are certain God-ordained positions of authority, and regardless of who inhabits that position, we have a certain respect towards the position, towards the office. So when I say our submission to authority, I'm talking about that authority which is operating within its biblical role. If you operate outside of a biblical role, I am no longer in command to be in submission to you. Okay? So authority within its biblical role. So your submission to authority and your submission to God are equal. You submit to God by submitting to the authority that He's placed over us. Well, how do I know that? Let's go back to Romans 13. Notice what the Lord says in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power. Now, the word power there means authority. Okay, so let's stop again for a moment. Again, I understand there's a slight disjointedness, but it is what it is. Okay, go with me to Psalms 62, if you will. Psalm 62. Let me show you the difference. Psalm 62 and verse number 11. Psalms 62. Verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. That power He's talking about is strength or the ability to do something. That God has all power, all ability to do anything He wants. So when God talks about in what He's talking about in Psalm 62, He's talking about His ability to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. That type of power, the power that moves, the power that creates, the power that does whatever He wants. But that's not what He's talking about here in Romans 13. When He says in Romans 13 that every soul should be subject to the higher power, so there's no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained or set up of God, He's not talking about the strength to do something. He's talking about the authority. That word power there means authority. The authority to do something. What He's saying is this in Romans 13, that every soul be subject unto the higher authorities, for there is no authority but of God. The authorities that be are ordained of God. So whatever God has set up as an authority is set up by the Lord. And notice what He says in the next verse. Whoso therefore resisteth the power, the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation or some type of judgment. And so what God is saying here in Romans 13 is that God in His wisdom has set up authorities over us. God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of anarchy. He doesn't want everyone just doing what they want. The idea that there's a speed limit on a highway is kind of the idea that you just can't, one guy can't do 20 and this guy do 100. There'd be all kinds of even more accidents happening. So there has to be some type of authority that controls our conduct. Left to ourselves, every man doing what he wants. You see in the book of Judges, that doesn't turn out well. So God has set up certain authority over us because God is not wanting anarchy to reign. So He has set up human authority. And what He said is, because I set the authority up, when you rebel against that authority, you're rebelling against Me. So our submission then to authority, again, within the biblical role that authority should be. So our submission to authority and our submission to God are equal. In other words, they're both are supposed to be there. Now, based on that, I'm going to give you three thoughts. Now, there'll be one and two will be kind of quick, I think. Number three is a little bit more long. Actually, the whole message is really geared towards the third point. It has, I think, eight sub-points. Yep, eight sub-points under it. But it won't be real long even then, because I know you got your mind on cake and ice cream. So let me give you three thoughts then. Thought number one is this. I'm going to preach it as I wrote it. So if it's a little redundant, just bear with me. Number one, all authority comes from God. If your authority doesn't come from God, I have no biblical responsibility to recognize your authority. The authority I'm supposed to recognize is the authority that God has set up. If you set it up apart from God, I'm not required to recognize it like he's talking about in Romans 13. And if you go outside of the authority God has given you, now this is key. If you go outside of the authority God has given you, neither I have to recognize it. I'm to recognize the authority that God has given you over me, but only that authority that God has given you over me. So all authority that we're talking about comes from the Lord. We'll see this in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We typically look at this in the context of the Great Commission, but he makes a statement right before he delivers the Great Commission. Matthew 28. And look with me in verse number 16. So what we're going to look at is what precedes the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power, same word, authority. All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. So let me stop. Let me explain something. God has promised the Son a kingdom that will be realized or fulfilled in what we call the end times, after the rapture, after the physical return of Christ, when we're then in after all that is done in the very end time of this earth, the last 1,000 years before there's a new heaven and new earth, that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ is the kingdom that God has promised the Son. But he does not, now watch, he does not become king in the millennial kingdom. He is king now. He doesn't rule like he will rule in the millennial kingdom. There's not a physical return, and during the millennial kingdom, then we are given authority under him, but that's not the case now. But right now, he is still king and Lord. Some people say, you need to make Jesus Lord. I understand what they're saying, I'm not trying to pick a fight, but you don't make Jesus Lord, he is Lord. It's either you recognize it in your life or you reject it, you rebel against it. He is king, he is Lord. And so when he says this in Matthew 16, then Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me. It's not like, because okay, God cannot change. He does not increase or decrease. So it's not like something else added to him, because you can't add to that which is all complete in and of itself. The immutability of God and the completeness of God is part of the basis of the deity of God. And so you can't add to God. So when he says all power is given to me, it's not a new thing. What he's saying is all authority on this world has always been mine. And I'm exercising that authority, and then he commands them to take the gospel out. But the authority on this earth is the authority that God has. Now, I understand Satan is the god of this world. That doesn't mean he's the authority of this world. It just means he's running rampant in this world, and he's the one that most people are listening to. But the authority on this planet is the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate authority on this earth. And so all authority comes from him. He has the authority, the jurisdiction over the earth. Now, because of that authority, he has, again by his own wisdom, his own providence, he has delegated positions of authority. And that's what we see in Romans 13. Let's go back to it. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, the higher authorities. In other words, there are going to be levels now of, if there's higher, that means there's got to be lower. That would just be, I think we could infer from that passage. So there are different authorities and different levels of authority that God has set over the earth. Saved or unsaved, they apply. So, he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. So, Jesus has set up underneath His authority, within His authority, He has delegated now that authority into positions. Not always, not the people, but the position. God has not given Joe Biden authority. He's given the office of the presidency authority. Now, some people violate it and don't and misuse it, but there is a reason that we have an office of the president. Not everyone who inhabits it is doing it as they should, but the position is set up by the Lord. Let's go a couple of different places, and we'll just belabor this point a little bit. Daniel chapter 2, if you will. Daniel chapter 2. Now, I'm taking a while to set up the foundation of getting to the really point 3 and what this means, but I think it's worth it to get our understanding of how we're supposed to be dealing with authority. Daniel chapter 2, because either people have, seemingly, from my perspective, you may have a different perspective. From my perspective, people seem to either have one ditch they go into where they, no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm my own man. Okay, Satan, that's good. You're following Satan there. That's not how we're supposed to be. Or then we just want to submit to everything, even though it violates Scripture. I'm like, well, you know, I'm just submitting to authority. Okay, if you submit to authority in violation of Scripture, you can't claim the Scripture as your reason for violating authority, because that would be contradiction. And so we don't want to go into either ditch. Daniel chapter 2 is where we're at. And we're going to look at verse number 19. Daniel 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He takes them out, puts them up. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So He sets them up, He takes them down. But it's the Lord who's in charge of these things. Okay, let's look at one more place. 1 Peter chapter 2. I will flip over to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13. Again, we're repeating ourselves, but the reason we're doing this is to emphasize that this is not just a one-and-done verse, Romans 13. This is a common teaching in Scripture about submitting ourselves to authority. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme or unto governors as in them that are sent by him. That would be that kind of like the higher powers, the king and then the lower power of the governor. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So same idea of submission. Now, so here is then, now we're going to transition to the next point. I got to say that because it's not written as my normal sermons, which would just make sense. If God has all authority, and He has invested that authority into positions over me. There's positions of authority over me. So God has set up positions of authority over me that I'm supposed to submit to. If God has all authority and He has invested that authority into positions over me, and if rebellion against those positions of authority is rebellion against God, then here's what I have to ask secondly. So number one, all authority comes from God. Number two is this. Here's the question I have to ask. Well, who's my authority? Who am I supposed to be listening to? What are these positions of authority? Well, let's go back to Romans 13. And look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, no authority, but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So all the power comes from God, it is set up by God, and it is set up to carry out what God wants it. Now, it doesn't always work that way, because we live in a sinful world, and there are sinful people who take these positions, and they don't rule like the Lord wants them to rule, but that's what the Lord intends. So the Lord has set up these positions of authority. So we can infer then from Romans 13:1, since all authority comes from God, and God is the authority, What should be then our final authority above all things? If what is the Supreme Court? What is the final deciding thing when it comes, if I have to say, well, should I, shouldn't I? What is the final place that I go to decide what's right or wrong? The Bible. So for the believer, the Bible is the ultimate final authority. If any human authority violates Scripture, I am not biblically commanded to follow them. Now, here's what I find is odd. Okay? I'm going to read what I wrote in 1991. I'm going to read it word for word. Now, in this preaching, even up to this point in time, I'm reading, but I'm doing what I normally do. I add and take away. It's just my normal preaching style. But I'm going to say exactly what I wrote down in 1991. And it's not grammatically correct, but whatever. Bible is the final authority. It should have jurisdiction over every area of your life. That was true in 1991, because that's Bible. By the way, that was true during COVID. Now, I'm going to tell you, if the government had ever come in, and they didn't, I'm thankful for it. I know not every state had our governor, even though I'm not a great fan of his, but at least he didn't do some of the stupid things that other state governors did. But if the state were to come in and tell us, you cannot have services, we're not giving you permission to have services, here's my response: you have no authority. The authority of the local church is in the headship of Jesus Christ. And God has not given that authority to someone else. I don't have headship of the church. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, like you're supposed to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. The Bible is the final authority. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I'm in my office alone, it takes me about 30 seconds of thinking of this, and I'm gritting my teeth. I'm mad about this. It just really angers me why people thought, and I have friends, preacher friends, who quoted Romans 13:1 saying that the government has a right to shut us down. Now, I am not castigating or criticizing church members or church people. Okay, that's not my issue. My issue is fellow preachers who should know better than this. Okay? Government never has a right to tell a church how it's supposed to live and serve and worship the Lord. We answer to a higher power through His Word. And any pastor who submitted to the government, if he had any character and any ethic at all, he should resign from the pastorate. He has no right to stand up and preach when it's easy and refuse to stand when it's hard. Now, it only takes me a moment to get angry about this. We could have had revival, probably, if everyone said, you know, we got an answer for COVID-19. It's Jesus Christ. Get saved before you die. Everyone's freaking out. We're going to die. Come and get saved. We might have had revival in America. But churches wouldn't even stay open long enough to even find out. So the Bible is the final authority. And any time a human authority violates Scripture, I am never commanded to obey human authority in violation of Scripture. And we preached some messages during COVID about this. Then they said, Daniel, you can't pray. What are you going to do about it? He said, I'm going to go pray about it. That's what I'm going to do. Didn't change him a bit. So the Bible is the final authority. It should have jurisdiction over every area of our lives. Whether we're talking about a job, our home, TV, music, dress, talk, whatever area we're talking about, the Bible has the final authority. Now, what also it tells us, if we go back to Romans 13, the Bible does have final authority. But now He has delegated other areas that maybe the Bible doesn't directly control, or it controls through human authority. For the powers that be, I'm in Romans 13:1, for there's no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. So God has set up human authority over me in submission to His Word, not in violation, but in submission to His Word. And so I have to recognize the human authority that God has set over me. What are the human authorities that God... Now, again, not in violation of Scripture, but within the context of Scripture and living Scripture, what is the human authorities over me? And again, we don't. The person who holds that authority may not always be the most, may not be the best person, but as long as I'm not violating Scripture, I have a responsibility to submit and to respect that authority, that the office which he holds. So the authority in a home would be the father. The authority in a classroom is the teacher. Have you seen these videos where students are punching out teachers? I saw one that guy walked up and just slapped a teacher. She's sitting there. And then he was yelling at her and slapped her again. It is unbelievable. But that didn't start in 2024. That started a long time ago when we sowed seeds of rebellion in our society. The authority in home is the father. The authority in the classroom is the teacher. The authority in the city is the mayor. The authority in the country is the president. The authority in the church is the pastor. The authority at work is the boss. In other words, there's a human authority that is under God to carry out God's work, but never in violation of Scripture. So I have to look at who's the one who's telling me what to do, and as long as they don't violate Scripture, I have a responsibility to do what they tell me to do. If you're at work and your boss says sweep the floor, you should say, yes, I'm going to sweep the floor. Why? Because that's your authority over me. My brother, now he's matured greatly because he's only 4 years younger than me. But in his youth, I'm talking about early 20s, he had a little chip on his shoulder. He had a good job. I mean, a good paying job. And the boss said, hey, you know, and my stepfather got him the job. He said, to my younger brother, the boss said, came along and said, hey, there's a mess over here. Can you get a broom and sweep that up? And he's making big bucks. And he was just standing there doing nothing. And here's what my brother said. You're not paying me to sweep the floor. And he said, you're right. Go home. I'm not paying you at all. Now, the whole idea that when you're at work, you have a boss who tells you what to do, and you should be submission to that authority. Now, let's move on. So we know this as submission to authority, as long as, again, within this biblical role, is submission to God. We know that all authority comes from God. We know God has delegated positions of authority over us, as long as they don't violate Scripture. Then it brings us now to the main, I guess, underpinning or the main application of the message. How are we to treat authority? I'm going to give you 8 things that rather quickly as a should I as a believer. Now, before I say that, let me go to another verse. Go with me, if you will, Matthew 15. Because when we start talking about how we treat authority, notice what the Bible says, Matthew 15. And look at verse 8, if you will. So again, all authority comes from God. So the way I obey God has a application how I'm obeying authority. It's not direct, but it at least teaches me some principles here. Matthew 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What that tells me is this, is that when we start talking about obeying authority or following authority, it's not just our action, which is true, but it's also a whole attitude, a whole art, the heart, the whole attitude of the heart and as it comes out in our action. So how are we to treat authority? I'll give you 8 things, kind of quickly, I think. Number one is this. Realize everyone has a position of authority. Every single person has some authority in some ways. Everyone's a leader. You may not lead a Sunday school class, but you may lead a bus route. You may not lead a bus route, but maybe you lead one of the kids' ministries. Maybe not that. Maybe you're in the nursery. Hopefully you're the authority in the nursery, not the kids in the nursery. Maybe you have some authority in your home, whatever it may be. Maybe at job you have some authority. So everyone has some position of authority. Now, go with me to Matthew 8. So how do we treat authority? Well, first of all, we realize everyone has some authority in somewhere, some way. Matthew 8. This is the centurion with his had a servant that was sick, and the Lord commends this man. But notice what he says before the Lord commends him, verse 9, Matthew 8, verse 9. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. He's a centurion. The idea, he had 100 soldiers under him, but he also answered to people. He said, I'm a man under authority, I have authority over me, but also I'm authority over them. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another come, and he cometh, and do my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So I take a command, and I give the command. I have authority over me I listen to, I have authority under me that I'm supposed to exercise. So everyone has some position of authority. Now, here's what I'm telling you this. When you sow rebellion, you're going to reap rebellion. If you can't follow your authority, don't expect people to follow your authority. There's a little play on words. If you can't follow the one who's in authority over you, don't be surprised when those under you don't follow. Back in my Long John Silver's days. Oh, come on! I set you up for that. Let's try it again. Back in my Long John Silver's days. Thank you. Back in my Long John Silver's days, I'd have people under me. I was a manager. I had people under me, and they didn't like all the policies and rules. And some of them, they didn't really make sense, but it was my job to enforce them. I didn't own the company. I didn't make their policy. They hired me to enforce their policy. I got paid. They gave me PMP, policy and procedure, I think is what it's called. They gave me this big book, this big, thick book of all their policies, and my job was to make sure. This is the temperature of the vats. This is the temperature of the water we use to make the hush puppy mix. This is the temperature has to be in the corn machine. This is the temperature that has to be in the seafood chowder. Everything had some policy that I'm supposed to be enforcing, some procedure to go. And a lot of times the people under me would say, well, that's stupid. Why do we got to do it that way? And I would say the same thing, because that's the person writing your check that tells you how you're supposed to be doing that. Well, can't we? No, we can't. This is what we're going to do. We're not cutting corners. We're not doing it different. I've been given a command, and I'm giving you the command. This is how it's going to be. But I had other people who were my fellow management people, and they would do this. They would take the policy and the things they didn't like or didn't agree with, they would say, oh, that's stupid, don't do it that way. Don't listen to them, they don't know what they're doing. And they would tear down the authority over them. But you know what I saw as I watched that? The people under them didn't respect their authority. Because when you don't respect your authority, the people under you don't respect the authority then that's invested in you. You sow rebellion, you're going to reap rebellion. So if you expect to exercise authority that God has given you, then you need to live in submission to the authority that God has placed over you. Again, for the umpteenth time within the biblical roles that authority is supposed to be. Number two. So realize you have a position of authority, and if you sow rebellion, you're going to reap rebellion. Number two, don't judge outside your area of jurisdiction or area of authority. If it's not your area of authority, it's not your area of authority. Sometimes people come to me, and this happens in church. One person in ministry has issues with another person in a different ministry. And they'll say, well, this is what they need to do. And my answer is, well, that's not your ministry. They don't answer to you. You run your ministry the way you're supposed to. Well, but no. You run your ministry the way you're supposed to. What they do or don't do is not your concern. Your concern is your ministry. Do it the right way. Don't try to exercise authority and then judge and tell other people in some other area that you don't have no authority over how to do their thing. Now, in a church, and I don't know that this really happens much in our church, but I know over the years I've seen this happen in churches. Typically, the two big areas that kind of clash at times is bus workers and Sunday school teachers, because they're dealing with the same kids. And they want each of them want to do something. Well, here's what I want for my bus kids. Well, good. When you're on the bus, that's how it works. Or the Sunday school teacher says, well, this is what I want for my kids in my class. Good. In your class, you can do that. You can't tell the bus workers what to do, and the bus workers can't tell the Sunday school. They each have their own, hopefully, rules that they're following that I've given them. But stay within your lane. Don't judge outside your area. Number three, don't seek positions of authority. You know the worst thing is someone who's looking to be in charge. You know the worst boss is the one who really wants to be the boss. That's the guy you don't want as your boss, who wants to be in charge. You're like, oh no, if you're in charge, we're in trouble. Don't seek positions of authority. Well, if I don't seek it, here's what people, well, you know, if I don't seek it, how am I going to get it? Could it be that there's a God in heaven who works and puts people in the places he wants them to be? And if we live in submission, he'll make it happen. I don't know. Let's see. Maybe, just maybe there's a verse about it. Let's just see. Let's go to the book of Psalms. 75, that's a good number. That's a number. I mean, if I was 75, that'd be pretty old. But unfortunately, I'm not. So Psalm 75. I didn't say that. Just erase that from the tape. Psalm 75, verse number 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. You see something missing there? the north. Promotion does come from the north. It comes from the Lord. The Lord sets up, the Lord takes down. We saw that in Daniel. He sets up one, tears down another. We don't need to seek positions of authority. All you need to do is live in submission to the Lord. If He wants to give you a position of authority, He will. Don't seek it. Number four, which this is kind of the finishing of number three. So number three, don't seek positions of authority. Number four is this, be willing to be the follower. Well, you know, I've heard people tell me, oh, I always got to be in charge. Then you should never be in charge. Matthew 20. Now, I don't deny that some people are better at leading than others. That's a true statement. But the one who always wants to take charge because it's his pride and that's just what he wants, that's bad news. Matthew 20. Look at me at verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, because even his disciples had this issue about everyone wanting to be in charge. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. And we've kind of alluded to that. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So who are we following? We're following the Lord. And look what it says in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, I didn't come for people to serve me, but to minister. I came to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. So be willing to be the follower. Number five. And I think these are just kind of practical things, which is probably set for a Wednesday night, but you're here on a Sunday night. Number five is this. Realize in different areas of your life, there are going to be different authorities in your life. And sometimes, and make sure I didn't get ahead of myself in my notes, and sometimes in different areas, one will be the authority and one will be a follower. In another area, one will be the authority and one will be the follower. I'll give you an example. Years ago, and this is a couple years after this message, it would be 1993. 1990, I got hired at Victory Baptist. I was the school principal and the bus director. And it's just the way it is. I'm not saying yay or nay, up or down, good or bad. I'm just saying this was my job. So I was the school principal and I was the bus director. And basically, I was Monday through Friday. I had the school. Saturday and Sunday, I had the bus route. And during school, I basically worked 7 days a week. It was not my preferred thing to do, but that was my job in those days. In 1993, we hired a bus director, someone to take that part of that off of me so I could just have the school. Well, the job of the bus director was also to teach in the school. And he taught, I think, part-time in the school. Okay. And because I was the bus director prior to that, I actually had one of the bus routes. We had four routes. I had one of the, I was captain of route one. I was route two and then I moved back to route one. So I had route one, which was east side of Lorain. So I was a bus captain of route one. I was a bus director and I was the principal of the school. Then we hired a bus director, but the pastor said to me, he said, I'll take the responsibility of the bus director from you and some of that workload, but we don't really have anyone take care of that bus route. Would you continue to be the bus captain? Okay, you know, whatever needs to be done. So I was the bus captain on the weekend. Not me. I was the bus captain on the weekend, and I was the school principal during the week. Now, the guy who was the bus director was a school teacher. So during the week, Monday through Friday, I was his boss in that way. I was the authority. He was the teacher. I was the principal. Now, when it came to the weekend, okay, I'm the captain. He's the director because he had four routes. So he had four captains underneath him. So Monday through Friday, I was the authority and he was under me. On the weekends, he was the authority and I was under him. Sometimes that's how it is. So you have to understand that in different areas of your life, you have different authorities, and sometimes the person you have authority over may actually have authority over you. And that's not a problem as long as you live in submission. I can follow him. He's a bus driver. This is your responsibility, whatever you say we do. But when it comes school time, that's a different thing. Now, I've been invested with authority, and this is the way it's going to be. Number six, when authorities conflict, obey the higher authority. In other words, there's a name for this, and I can't think off the top of my head, maybe you know what it is. But if the city and the state conflict in their laws, the state has dominance. If the state and the federal government conflict, and there's different ways that the courts look at this, but if the state and the federal government has a conflict, typically the federal government takes oversight, takes more authority than the state. So when two authorities conflict, I have to say, okay, which is the higher authority in my life? Which is the one that has the higher? Now, you got to obey the higher authority, but you got to do it in kindness. There are times when as a manager at Long John Silver's, I had a boss over me, and my boss had a boss over them. And sometimes those two would conflict for whatever reason. And so my boss would say something, but my boss's boss would tell me something else. And in those cases, I listened to my boss's boss and said to my boss, I understand what you're saying, but here's what Phil said. And Phil is your boss, and he has more authority over me, and I got to listen to what he said. So I'm just going to do what he says, and if there's a problem, you and him need to figure it out. So you, in kindness, you obey the authority that has higher power. Number seven, I'm trying to go a little quick here. Number seven, and that is this, always show respect to authority. I've said this multiple times, respect the office if you can't respect the person. I tell you this, I don't know if... and I don't know since Ronald Reagan that I've looked at someone who's been in the office of the presidency and have had great respect for him. I had respect for Ronald Reagan. I thought he was a respectful person. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I had a lot of respect for him. Every president after that, I'm like, some better, some a whole lot worse. But there's always been a respect for that. It's always the president. We got to be careful how... Okay, I don't know if you know this about me. I'm not a Joe Biden supporter. Okay, I didn't vote for him the first time. I ain't voting for him the second time. If Joe Biden's on the ticket and Mickey Mouse is on the ticket, I'd rather have Mickey Mouse than Joe Biden. It can't be any worse. So anyways, I'm not a Joe Biden supporter, but he's still the President of the United States. Okay, I don't use vulgarity in reference to our president. It's not right. Believers shouldn't use vulgarity in reference to the president. He may not be a very good person, but he holds an office that God has set up authority over me. So we respect the office. Number eight is this. Submit to your authority. What does that mean? You obey it and you try to lift it up. You try to honor it. You try to show respect to it. So here's the question I have underneath number eight. What do others think about your authority based on what you say about your authority? Because if people think bad about your authority based on you, then you're really not living in submission to your authority. So here's the conclusion. I got to tell you that because it's not obvious. Satan attacks by tearing down authority, by rebellion. God has ordained these positions of authority that we're supposed to be in submission to. And the degree we submit to those authority is the degree we're submitting to the Lord, again, within biblical responsibility and roles. And the degree we rebel against the authority is the degree we're rebelling against God and doing the work of Satan. That's the biblical perspective of authority.